Wow, that was awesome, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, church. Good to be with you on this beautiful spring morning. I don't know, becoming a snowbird is becoming more appealing the older and older I get. So my name is Rich Teal. I am the only pastor on staff for the next 3 weeks. As Jake had said, praise the Lord, John's coming here on Easter Sunday. He'll be moving here, as he said, and then moving his family later on, probably mid-June. But I know Jake and Dave have been, I think, going through houses, walking around with your phone, FaceTiming, trying to find a place. We need to be in prayer for that. You know how hard it is buying a house nowadays. So continue to pray for them and that whole transition. Moving your family cross-country is no easy task. So continue to pray for them. We are continuing our series on Philippians, and I hope you have been enjoying this as much as, at least I'll speak for myself, as much as I've been enjoying studying it. I think the other guys have as well. We went through it fairly quickly. We kind of looked at it at a high level. We took big chunks of scripture, and that was probably mostly out of my uncertainty and inability to take like three verses of scripture and make a 30-minute sermon out of it, and that's a lot of pressure. So we thought we'd take bigger chunks, and the timing is actually working out just right. We're going to end on next week. We're going to do chapter 4, and then on the 10th, Jake is going to be preaching on Palm Sunday, and then John will be here. We actually had him on our elder. He was in our elder meeting, and we had him on a Zoom call, and he was asking us a bunch of questions. What have we preached on? What does our church need to hear? And then he laid out his preaching schedule for the next year. Well, we're going to do a series on this. We're going to do a series on prayer. For a year. I thought, dang, this is great. We haven't had that in a long time. I'm pretty much, well, what are we preaching next week? I don't know. We'll figure that out. So it was really great to have him and be a part of that. He's diving right in. We just can't wait. So before we get started into this week's passage, let's go to God in prayer, ask his blessing on this time. Father, we are grateful for your word. This letter from Paul to the saints in Philippi 2,000 years ago is still so relevant to us today, which just validates when you say your word is living and active. It is. It's living and active in our hearts today, because the truths that Paul expressed to those saints in Philippi so long ago apply to us. And Lord, I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would be moving. That it doesn't really matter how well I do this, how well I present your word. May your Spirit do his work in the hearts of each one of us. You know where we're at. You know what we need. So, Lord, this morning, I pray that we would be open to it. And as Jake said, calm our hearts from the busyness of our lives and what's going on in this world. May we just focus on you and who you are and what you've done in our life. And may you continue to change us into the image of your Son. Lord, that's my prayer this morning, that your Spirit would just move among us. So bless this time in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so last week, Dave covered chapters 3, 1 through 11. And this week, we're going to do 12 through 21. So I'm going to give a 30,000-foot view of 12 through 21 with a quick glance back at last week to give us some context. So last week, Paul was telling the saints in Philippi, he says, I want to know Christ. I want to know him intimately. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know and experience his suffering. And I want to know him so I can be like him. And then he goes on to tell the saints in Philippi that, hey, look, that's my goal, but I'm not there yet. I haven't reached it yet. I am still straining to reach it, to get there. But he says, look, I'm going to forget what's behind and I'm going to strain towards what's ahead and I'm going to press on to the goal that Christ has called him to. And then he says, and you who are mature should have the same attitude as this, and And if you don't, well, God will straighten you out on that. And then he says, follow my example and follow those like me. And he warns them of others who are enemies of the cross. And he kind of warns them not to follow them. And then he reminds them that they are citizens of heaven and of God's kingdom. And that we await the return of our Savior, who at one point will take these lowly failing bodies and turn them into a glorious one. So that's the 30,000 foot view of this passage. And we're going to dig in a little bit deeper on each one as we go through. But I want to look back at what was in last week's passage, because God really spoke to my heart about this as I was preparing this message and I was rereading that. And in verses 7 through 11, where Paul says, but whatever gains to me, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. Whatever is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. The surpassing worth of knowing Jesus. That was Paul's goal. He wanted to know Christ. Not just know about him, he wanted to know him, so that he could be like him. I don't know if you remember, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 months ago, I did a series on the character of Christ where I talked about the characteristics of Jesus. We learned about Jesus. But Paul wants to know him. I mean, really know him so he can be changed. And I thought, well, how do we even grasp that? How do we know someone who's not physically here? And the only earthly kind of example I could think of was a husband and a wife who, as they get to know each other, they share each other's hearts. And Debbie's not here. She's up with the kids. What a shock. But I know her. I know what makes her tick. I know her values. I know what she loves and what she treasures. I know how to push her buttons to get her a little fired up, to make her angry. I know her very well, and she knows me. And that's the kind of knowing that Paul wants to know Jesus. What makes this guy tick? What does he love? What does he care about? Because that's what I need to care about. Jesus showed love and mercy and compassion, kindness and gentleness. And all those are characteristics that we can know about him. But why? Why does he love, and why does he care, and why does he show mercy? So Paul wants to know the very heart of Jesus, because we're not going to be changed just by knowing about him. We need to know him. So here's the question that I had to ask myself, and I'll ask you: how well do you know Jesus? How well do we know him? Is he like a casual acquaintance where you just kind of speak with him every now and then, text him, send him a quick email, how you doing? Open up his word a little bit. Or do you really want to know him? Because we are not going to be changed until we do that. And like any relationship, it's a two-way street. We need to open ourselves up to him. He needs to know us as well. And of course, he's God, so he does. But he wants us to come to him with all our doubts, all our fears, all our anxieties, all our failures, and share those with him. And it is then he can start changing us into his image. So that, as I was reviewing that, God just brought that to my heart, and I wanted to share that with you. That's a challenge for all of us. Let's get to know Jesus better. So, 12 through 21. I already gave you the Reader's Digest condensed version. Do you even know about the Reader's Digest? I wrote that and I thought, do people even know about the Reader's Digest condensed version? Probably not. It's like the Cliff Notes from college. Yeah, losing you. All right. So Paul goes on and says, look, not that I have already attained this, all this, or have arrived at my goal. So he starts off by kind of doing a self-assessment. And he says, look, this is my goal. I want to know Jesus and I want to be like him, but I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. You know, for Paul to say that, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, who has accomplished so much. And he admits he is not there. And it kind of reminded me, where am I? Do I need to do a self-assessment, a spiritual inventory of where I'm at? What is my goal? Where do I stand? How am I doing? I think a lot of us fool ourselves as to thinking we're more mature than we are. Some think less of yourselves. You think, oh, I'm not nearly as mature as I should be. And maybe we are farther along than we think, but we need to be like Paul and do a proper assessment of where we are spiritually. And it's funny, when you're young in your faith, you don't know what you don't know. I mean, our God is an infinite God. He operates outside of time. He operates outside of everything. How could we possibly know him? So we don't even know what we don't know about God. And I found that the more mature I get, the longer I've been doing this, and the more understanding I have of God, the more I realize I don't know anything. There is so much more to learn about him. So much more. So I encourage you to do a spiritual inventory. Where are you at? If you have a goal of being like Christ, how far along are you? What are you doing to take those, what steps are you taking to get there? And Paul then goes on. And he says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. Forgetting what is behind. Don't look back at the past. I mean, Paul had a lot of accomplishments. I mean, Jake went in when he did his message in this, he listed all the things that Paul had accomplished. He was like the Pharisee of Pharisees and Hebrew of Hebrews. He had accomplished so much. Planted churches. And he said, all of that, I forget all that. Because that's just going to be a distraction to me. And for most of us, it's not just our successes, it's our failures. Our sins that kind of weigh us down. We look back and say, oh man, I messed up again. And we let it distract us from straining towards what is ahead and hitting our goal. Neither one is helpful. Neither one is productive. There's a story of two runners. Back in 1954, August 7th, during the British Empire and Commonwealth Games in Vancouver, England's Roger Bannister and Australian John Landy met for the first time in the one-mile run at the newly constructed Empire Stadium. Both men had broken the four-minute barrier previously that year. Bannister was the first to break the mark with a time of 3 minutes 59.4 seconds on May 6th. Subsequently, on June 21st in Finland, John Landy became the new record holder with an official time of 3 minutes 58 seconds. Well, the world watched eagerly as both men approached the starting blocks. As 35,000 enthusiastic fans looked on, no one knew what would take place on that historic day. It was promoted as the mile of the century, but it would later become known as the miracle mile. With only 90 yards to go in one of the world's most memorable races, John Landy glanced over his left shoulder to check his opponent's position. At that instant, Bannister streaked by him to victory in a Commonwealth record time of 3:58.8. Landy's second place finish in 3:59.6 marked the first time the four-minute mile had been broken by two men in the same race. And you can see in that picture, Landy is turning his head and he's looking back. And as he did, Bannister streaked by him and won. He was looking back to find his opponents, and it slowed down. And Paul is kind of saying the same thing. Don't look back. That's going to be a distraction. Don't get bogged down and weighed down by your failures of the past or even your successes. He said, yeah, focus on the future. Focus on the goal. Focus on Christ. Keep your eyes fixed on him, not in the past. So we need to train ourselves not to look back, not to get bogged down in the past. Paul goes on to say, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. To which God has called me heavenward. It is God who does the pursuing, isn't it? Since time began, God is the one that reaches down to us. God is the one that pursues us. We rarely pursue him. If left to our own device, what are we pursuing? The things of the world? Our own pleasures? Our own desires? Rarely do we pursue the things of God. But God is faithful. He always pursues us. And he has called us heavenward. And he has a purpose for us. When Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus, he had a purpose for Paul's life. And Paul says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. God has a purpose for your life as well. When he called you to be a child of his, he has work for you to do. It was in Philippians 2 when, I think it was Jake who was preaching, talks about it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God has a purpose for your life. We need to pursue fulfilling that purpose. Paul then goes on in verse 15. It says, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. One commentator wrote about this. It says, all Christians must recognize the discipline and effort and the agony of the Christian life. Some may perhaps think differently, but if they're truly honest, God will make it plain to them that they must never relax their efforts or lower their standards, but press on towards the goal until the end. I mean, the words that Paul uses in this passage, I press on, I strain, forgetting what is behind. It involves effort, it involves hard work. To live the life of that Christ has called us to is not easy. It is not easy at all. And Paul's encouraging them, saying, look, at those who are mature, we have to keep on working hard at this. It's not a cakewalk, the Christian life. God never said it would be. So we have to keep working hard. Verse 16, only let us live up to what we have already attained. The New King James Version says this, says, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. So what Paul is saying here is, hey, look it, keep on doing what you've been doing. Stay in line spiritually. Keep progressing in your sanctification. Keep progressing in your growth. Doing the same things you've done before. Kind of like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Keep on doing what you've been doing. And then he has this bold statement in verse 17. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Follow me, Paul says. What incredible confidence he has to be able to say that. Follow me, because I'm following Christ. And he kind of warns them. He said, look, if there's those who are enemies of the cross, who their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is not set on earthly things. Don't follow them. It's so easy to follow people who are living for themselves, who are living for this world. Because it looks appealing, they look successful. And Paul says, no, don't do that. Follow my example. That made me stop and think. If I'm really walking with Christ Others are watching, aren't they? If you have children, who are they following? That's a pretty scary thought. People are watching you as you live out your faith. They may be following you. There may be people in this church. We have our elders. People are watching you. They're following you. We need to make sure we are walking like Paul, following Christ diligently. But more importantly, who are you following? Who are you following? You need to hang around people who are chasing hard after Jesus. If you're struggling in your walk or you want to grow, don't hang around with those who aren't doing that. Hang around with people who are excited about their faith, who are in the Word, who are chasing hard after Jesus. That's who you want to follow. That's who you want to emulate. And if you don't know someone like that, man, just let me know. We'll find someone to connect with you, to come alongside you. Someone who's excited about their faith and wanting to live for Jesus, because we got to follow the right people. Don't try to do it on your own. So what is Paul telling us in this passage? He says, man, get to know Jesus and really know him. And do a spiritual inventory of where you're at. Do an assessment of where your life is at. Get rid of all the distractions. Forget what happened in the past. You are new creations in Christ. Too often I hear people say, I'm a terrible person. I sin all the time. You're a new creation in Christ. You are not a terrible person. God does not make terrible people. You are not a sinner saved by grace. You are saved. You are a saint. New heart, new nature. Don't get caught up in what happened to you in the past. That'll drag you down. You are new in Christ. And that ought to give you hope, because we have him living inside of us in order to live this life. So do an honest assessment of where you're at. Get rid of the distractions and hang around people who love Jesus and are chasing hard after him. Let's go after the prize that God has called us to. Let's not just coast. Let's set our eyes, let's fix our eyes on Christ and go after him hard. Let's get to know him. Because he's got a purpose for us. He's got work for us to do. Our mission statement is making more and better followers of Christ. How are we doing in terms of that target? How are we doing in terms of making more followers of Christ? We had 114 people come through our basement yesterday. People looking for clothes because there was a need. Some submitted prayer requests. They gave us their contact information. There's needs that there that we can meet. But more than their physical needs, they need to know Jesus. And that's what God has called us to do, to share the good news of Christ. And then we got to make better followers. We need to make disciples. It was great. I went to a meeting of, it's called Christ Together. It's a group of pastors from this area. And they started talking about discipleship. And all of them were kind of like, we spend so much time on preparing messages and visiting in the hospital and doing this and this and this and this. I don't have time to do one-on-one discipleship. Yet they all knew that was the most important thing they needed to do. They also know it's the hardest thing they have to do, to come alongside someone and encourage them and challenge them and work with them, because not everybody's on fire for the Lord. But they know that discipleship is the key. If we're going to accomplish this mission, we need mature people going out and doing the work. And they know that their job is to equip the saints to do works of service. So we need to grow spiritually and then get out there to do God's work. We have a new pastor coming. He's excited about coming here. He's watched us online. He's talked to us. He's got to know us a little bit. He senses God moving in our congregation. We have a group of people in our church who are fired up about knowing Jesus. And he wants to help us reach out and accomplish that mission of making more and better followers of Christ. We can't let him down when he comes here, man. We got to be on our game. We want to prove to him that God called him here, and we're a group of people who, he says, I don't want, what do you say? Small-minded church. He goes, I don't want a small-minded church. I don't think we're a small-minded church. I think we're a big-minded church. We're a church that wants to do what God wants, has called us to. We want to grow. We want to be like Jesus. So let's help each other do that. Let's keep our eyes fixed on the prize, fixed on Christ. And let's strain and press together to accomplish that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are encouraged and challenged at the same time by Paul's words. He has not achieved his goal yet. But he presses on, Lord. And may we do the same thing when we press on to be transformed in the image of your Son, Jesus. The road isn't easy. It's hard. But you've surrounded us with brothers and sisters in Christ who can help us on that journey. May we continue to challenge each other, push each other, encourage each other, press each other to be who you want us to be, so that we can accomplish your mission, bring glory to your name, expand your kingdom for your glory. It's in Christ's name I pray, amen.